God will redeem his people. And we are going to read how he redeems his people through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. In the sixth month of the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Thus far God's precious word to us. Dear congregation, we all encounter impossibilities, don't we, in our lives. There can be sometimes accidents that shock us, that leave perhaps scars or trouble. Some of us have experienced grief and are grieving. And sometimes it seems that the pain grows worse and worse and doesn't go away. We sometimes have illnesses without a foreseeable cure. We might have financial problems that seem beyond solving. Impossibilities, perhaps in relationships that are broken, without hope of lasting change. There's trouble that we meet at work, or trouble that we meet at home or school, and we sometimes think it's just over our heads. It's impossible to be solved. Maybe you've come this morning with sins that are bothering you, tempting you, and it seems to be stronger. Forgiveness and relief seems impossible to you. Or you have come here with a grief in your heart that a loved one has gone astray and set his or her face toward pursuing sin. Or you have brought the gospel to a loved one and it seems to be falling on deaf ears. It seems impossible. Seems impossible. Or is there perhaps someone who is lost, who says today, can I ever be saved? Lost and without Christ, and you've seen your sin, and salvation seems for you impossible. In life, we all meet impossibilities, don't we? We all respond differently to impossibilities. Some fight to the bitter end. Others give up and are discouraged. Some just grin and bear. Others sink down in self-pity and despair. Others wait with joy for better days. Some have learned to trust the Lord and to submit with calmness and contentment. And the question that this passage that is before us asks us this morning, have you, have I, learned in whatever circumstances we are to trust that God, for God, there is nothing impossible. Nothing. Nothing. That's our text this morning. Luke 1, verse 37, spoken in Mary's impossible situation. These words simply, for with God nothing is impossible. That's our theme. There are three things here that guide us through this passage. It's the birth, in the birth of from a virgin, God shows that nothing is impossible. In the birth of John, God shows that nothing is impossible. And the birth of Jesus, God shows that nothing is impossible. Maybe you can come with me for a moment and try to put ourselves in the shoes of Mary if we can. Children, Mary meets with an angel. Gabriel is his name, a glorious angel, a messenger of God. Now, if when that happened, often people would tremble, would shake, as it were, in their shoes. Who's Mary? I think you know, right? She's young. She's a poor girl. She's from the house of David, from the line of the King of David. But she must not have felt like special in any particular way. But then suddenly, there she has this messenger coming, this heavenly messenger standing before her and saying these puzzling words, Hail, thou who art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. What would we do when we would hear those words? Especially ladies among us. If someone would say this to you, what would you have said? And how would you have responded? Hail, that means greetings. Favored one. Favored. And then those words, God is with you. The Lord is with you. They are the most blessed among women. You are the most happy of all women. Would we rejoice? Would we think, I thought so? Or would we, with Mary, say, what is this? She was agitated, alarmed. She was troubled. Me? Happening to me. The angel responds and knows that she's fearful. Fear not, Mary, and he sees also our fears when we have them. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. He repeats it. Favored one. You're a favored one with God. Not because of anything in her. Because later she would sing about her Savior in her song. But because of God's grace and His plans with the life of Mary, that's why she was favored, and it was purely undeserved. God's grace is always purely undeserved. And then Gabriel shows her what's going to happen. This plan that God has with her life. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Children, don't you think she must have thought, that's impossible. Me? And that's what we hear. Verse 34. She's asking that question. How shall this be? Seeing I know not a man. I'm a virgin. I'm unmarried. I'm betrothed. Yes, it means something like being engaged. But I know I'm still a virgin. In the day in which we live, it's not so common. Rampant pornography, sexual sin. She knew it. I'm a virgin. Not only does this seem to her as impossible, but think about it, what it would mean for her to be pregnant. Her friends would reject her. People might speak about her behind her back. And we read in Matthew that Joseph even was thinking about just secretly leaving. A young and married girl, it would be disaster. She would often stay unmarried unless the father of the child would agree to marry her. And what I read in commentators, they said begging would be most likely what she was going to do. Left, forsaken. In worst case, prostitution. That was normal in those days. This seems impossible. Me, pregnant. And yet Gabriel's message here echoes the promises of God, which are yea and amen in Jesus Christ. The promises, also the promise that you have heard about last week. That promise in Isaiah 7 verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. A virgin shall conceive. God said it and God does it. And she shall bear a son. Someone who is unmarried was prophesied years before, as you heard last week, to Ahaz. But also to the people standing by, because this shall be a sign to you, that is a plural, many, the people who were standing by and listening to that prophecy, all people standing by, it will be a sign to you, it will be a sign to the people in the ages to come, a virgin, someone who has never known a man. And if we would have never heard this before, beloved, we would not have shrugged our shoulders, perhaps, as we can so easily do. We've heard this so often. But may it be this morning that it is a miracle to us. It is a miracle. If we would have never heard this, we would have said, this is impossible. If we would not live in a time in which we live, we have all these scientific things, that even surrogate mothers and things like that, in which people try to take hold of God's creative powers and conception, we would have said, this is impossible. And because we know this story, and because we know the time in which we hear all kinds of things, has the wonder of this impossibility come to us this morning? Let it not escape us this morning. There is wonder in this, that God takes a virgin and says, you are going to bear my son. Let us be in awe. You are going to bear my son, God's son. Mary's question is answered, beloved. It says, Gabriel says in verse 35, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. How is this possible? Well, this is how it's possible. God does something He's never done before. He comes with the Holy Spirit and overshadows Mary, a virgin, and she will bear a son, just as that creative power in the beginning of the world hovered over a world that was unformed and uncreated, over the darkness. Something like that will happen. The Holy Spirit will come. As it hovered over the waters, the world became, a whole new world came into existence. Here, a whole new world comes in existence. God powerfully overshadows with His Holy Spirit this virgin. And the result is God's amazing creative powers. A whole new world. God entering into flesh. A whole new man. A whole new man, God-man. Something new. Never done before. Beginning of God's new creation. A second Adam. Or we could say in terms of what happened. There was a temple, and God filled it with His presence, with a glory cloud, a sign of the Holy Spirit, to show that God was with His people. In those days of the tabernacle and the temple, that's how He did it. He showed, I am with you. Now He says to Mary, you will be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. And that's how I show I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm coming to you. I'm coming close to you in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be overshadowed with the power of the Highest, God Himself. Gabriel already said to her, God is with you, Mary. But now, he says, there will be something even more miraculous, something more unheard of. Let us be in awe this morning, and let us praise God for this miracle here in Mary, where God says, you are highly favored because I will overshadow you, and I will let God's Son be born out of you, a virgin. A new creation. A new creation that was so needed. Adam failed. Noah or Seth or Cain, we heard recently, failed. Noah failed. Abraham also sinned. David, an adulterer. Who are you? Who am I? Sinners. Failures. Impure. Unholy. Fallen. Here, born. Pure. By supernatural powers, by God's power, holy, the Son of God. For with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing. Literally, our text says, every word of God shall not be powerless. Every word of God shall not be powerless. That's what it means. We heard the promise. That promise is not powerless. It's powerful. In impossible situations, there's often little or nothing that we can do. And we feel powerless. But not so with God. Every word of God is full of power. Everything that He says will take place. He said it years before to Isaiah. And now He says it to Mary. This is what I'm going to do. And that word is powerful. How do we know? He's the Creator. He's the Creator. Our glorious Creator. He speaks and it was done. Psalm 33 verse 9. He commanded and it stood fast. In creation, in salvation. Still true. God's promise sometimes can feel hopelessly impractical and terribly impossible. A virgin without a husband, pregnant, without knowing a man, it's impossible. In our eyes, in Mary's eyes, but it's possible with God. What are your impossible circumstances today? That you say it's impossible, whether it's in day-to-day circumstances or whether it's in your spiritual life, or perhaps in your spiritual deadness. Look at Mary for a moment. Mary was not somebody. She was a nobody. She was a girl. Her future was uncertain. And God comes to her with a word from above, "You're highly favored." It seems utterly ridiculous if you have no faith. She seems to be useless. And pregnancy would mean for her disaster. And Gabriel says, on behalf of the word of God and the message of God, you're highly favored. Highly favored. That's how the gospel works. That's how the gospel works. God comes, not because of anything of us. It's impossible from our side. And then He comes and chooses sovereignly people. And who does He choose? Well, Paul says it, "For see your calling, brethren, and how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty." God doesn't need our power. God doesn't need our wisdom. He doesn't need our nobility, respectability, nothing. Hopeless sinners come and hear the word of God, and God makes it powerful, and He says to you, in your heart and soul, you're highly favored. How is this possible? Because he overshadows you with His Holy Spirit. And He gives you grace and mercy and kindness, undeserved. And when you perhaps think, I'm useless, I'm fruitless, I'm a nobody, I'm hopelessly lost, I'm sinful, I'm fallen, and God comes with His word and makes it powerful. That's how it works. A new creation. It happened to Paul. And listen how Paul says it in Galatians when he remembers that work of God. He says it had pleased God to call him to His grace and to reveal His Son in me. It's a little similar, isn't it? This work. We receive the new birth. God's Son becomes part of us through the Holy Spirit. Indwells us. Why? Because first God came as the God-man to Mary. The Virgin Mary, which seemed impossible, and now He redeems impossible cases just to show what our text says. In your my heart, He can do it. For nothing is impossible with the Lord. Nothing. Have you experienced it? That the Word of God is so powerful that it makes you new and delivers you from all your bondage. Through this virgin birth, it's possible. It seemed impossible to Mary. But therefore, Gabriel talks about her to assure her, to affirm her, to give her more assurance. And he talks about another miraculous conception. He says that's just taken place. A second impossible birth to show the truth of our text. Verse 36, "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren." Impossibility one, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Impossibility two, the old woman who was barren will conceive and bear a son in her old age. It's as if Gabriel wants to say to Mary, "I tell you this so that you will know that what I say is true. Mary, I tell you this so that you would take hold by the grace of God of this word and believe it. Nothing is impossible with God." Elizabeth, beyond the age of bearing, powerless to bear a son. But God comes with His promise to Zacharias. And God is powerful. His word is powerful. His promise is powerful. It's as if Gabriel is saying to Mary, "I know you believe the word of God. I know you've read those stories about Abram and Sarah, Isaac needed to be born. Child of the promise, impossible, barren. I'm doing something like that again. Go and visit Elizabeth for a moment. Both old, barren. It's impossible. You know, Mary, what I did in the past, I will do again. I will do it again. Don't you remember, Mary? That these words that I tell you, for nothing shall be impossible with God, were first told to Abram and Sarah. Sarah was in the tent and she was laughing in unbelief. Don't you remember? When those visitors came to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and on their way they stopped at Abram and Sarah's tent and told, "You're going to bear a son at this time, so at such and such a time." This is the verse, Genesis 18, verse 14. "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Is anything too hard for the Lord? For with God, nothing's impossible. Is anything too hard? And the answer is, of course not. It's God. They will have a son. They will have a son. Zacharias and Elizabeth will have a son. And we read about that. Zacharias sings about that in verse 76. And thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord, that's the Lord Jesus, and prepare his ways. John's birth is going to be supernatural. He will be a prophet of the Most High who will be preparing the way. What does that mean, children? That he's preparing the way. That means that the one is coming is the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory, who is worthy of all our worship and adoration. That's what it means. You're going to see that in our third thought, but not yet. So here God says in our text, he assures Mary with this simple truth, with God nothing is impossible. And he shows that a virgin birth is not impossible with God. A beyond fertility birth is not impossible with God. He gave that promise once to Abraham. And what did Abraham do? Although he tried himself, we read in Romans that he did not stagger in unbelief. His body was dead. It was old age. Sarah was barren. The impossibilities of gaining the promised land seemed real. And how can it be, if I have no son, that my seed will be as the stars of heaven and the sand of the sea? It's impossible, God, Abram could have said. And maybe that's how you feel at this moment. It's impossible. But faith does not look at the circumstances. It looks at the word of God. Abram did not stagger, doubt, hesitate, because God's word came with power. And faith doesn't look at the circumstances, but faith looks at the God who promises. So what are your impossibilities in your life? What are the impossibilities in your circumstances? Are there promises in Scripture that you can plead? But even more so, are there promises that you need to embrace with faith? What are the impossibilities in your spiritual life? Do you feel backslidden, lazy perhaps, dead? Or are you spiritually vibrant? Are you full of awe, full of worship? Are you able to pray? Are you content? Are you thankful, whatever the circumstances are, however hard they are? Are you hurting in sight? Are you looking back in your life, perhaps, and it went so different? And deep inside you said, this is not what I had dreamed of. And perhaps you become bitter. Are you unable to see what's happening in your life right now can benefit you in any way? Do you say it's impossible? Are you perhaps unable to understand how God could save you, such a wretch as you are, such a sinner? Does it seem everything is against you? Are you perhaps unable to believe that He can take you out of the powerful grip of sin? Have you perhaps lost hope that you can ever walk closer to the Lord? Seems impossible. Have you lost hope? And a loved one has chosen to go a different route away from the Lord. Have you lost hope? Do you feel helpless? Do you feel powerless? Do you feel utterly unable to change your situation? Listen to our text. and rest your weary soul upon this text this morning. With God, nothing is impossible. Abram died in faith, not having received the promises. It looked like he would never receive them. And yet he judged God faithful, who had promised. And God was not ashamed to call him, to call Abram and his son, and to be their God. Because faith doesn't look at the possibilities on our side. It doesn't look at our deadness, our hardness, our unbelief. It looks at God. God who's faithful, who has promised. It shows us the glory of who He is. He is almighty. Almighty. Nothing is impossible. He's all powerful. He is faithful to His promises. He has promised. And His promises will never fail. Not a word of what He has spoken will be powerless. There's power in the Word of God. So when He says to you today, trust, turn away from your sin, He can do that with such power, just as that man, children, with a withered hand. Do you remember that? The man with a withered hand. The word came, and his hand was hanging there, and he couldn't. Until God, or the Lord Jesus, spoke. What did He do? Stretch out. It was healed. That's how it works. Or think about that man at Bethesda who was laying there for years and years and years and end without end. And he was laying there, and every time he was too late. He couldn't get into the water. He couldn't. He couldn't. He couldn't. Too late. Too late. But then Jesus visits his soul, his sickness. And so Jesus can visit your soul. And He commands him, roll up your bed. And he goes home skipping and giving glory to God. Nothing is impossible with God. Mary, think back to those promises to Abram. Visit Elizabeth for a moment. And trust that God is going to establish His kingdom. Don't worry about what will happen in the future. Don't worry about the pregnancy of the Son of God in you. Believe the promises. You will be established. The Word of God tells us. Two impossible births. And then the one that comes after John, who is so far more glorious. His name is Jesus. And we skipped over the verses of His glory for a moment on purpose. Because listen to these verses and let them be sinking down your soul. He shall be great. 32 and 33. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then that description in 35b. It says there, therefore that holy thing, Holy One, we could translate as well, holy thing, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. The Son of God. This virgin birth child, he shall be great, he shall be majestic and glorious. He shall be called the Son of God. He is the Son of God. The Son of the Highest, the most exalted. God's own son. He will have a throne. That means, children, he is a king. His word will rule with power. His word has authority. He will sit on the throne of his father David. And his kingdom, of his kingdom, there will be no end. He will be forever ruling over the house of Jacob, that is over the people of God, people of Israel. And by extension over the people of God through all ages, the New Testament church. And his kingdom will never end. Eternal. So let's think for a moment. His kingdom is eternal. He's exalted. He's ascended into the highest after he had suffered. What does that mean? He's king forever. That means, beloved, that children also, that means that he is king right now. That his word comes with power and authority from on high. He's ruling and reigning. Forever king. We can't see it, yet it is true. Mary, do you see it? Do you believe it? All promises about the promised Messiah are going to be fulfilled because it's the word of God. For nothing with God is impossible. Mary, don't you know? Haven't you read your Bible, 2 Samuel 7, the covenant with David? We sang about it, didn't we? Covenant with David. He will have someone on the throne forever. Or Psalm 89. God says there, I have sworn. God says, I swear an oath. This is going to be happening. I promise. I swear it. It's going to happen. By my holiness. So I'm holy, I'm trustworthy, without sin, by my holiness, that I will not lie. I'm not a liar. I'm trustworthy unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. I told Ezekiel, Mary. I told Ezekiel this, and I will set up one shepherd over the house of Israel, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. 34:23. A few chapters later, again, he speaks about David. He speaks about the return from exile, one nation, one king, no more idolatry. Verse 24, and David, my servant, shall be king over them. Promised. Promised. God's word. All shall have one shepherd. Fast forward. I am the good shepherd. I lay my life down for the sheep. One shepherd. They shall walk in my statutes, observe my judgments, and observe my statutes to do them. Impossibilities? Yes. Didn't look like it in Ezekiel's day. Didn't look like it in David's day. Sin seemed to be an hindrance. God had spoken. God had spoken. He swore an oath by his own holiness. And Mary, how did she respond? What a beautiful response. What a beautiful response. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed. not one word will be powerless. Be it unto me according to that powerful word. See, ask questions humbly. Yes, it's allowed. We can ask questions humbly. It's allowed. But she submits, trusts. And later on we read that she takes these words into her heart and she ponders them. And that's how she finds stability for her life in all the difficult circumstances, impossible circumstances. Still the same today. You can find rest in God's promises given through the Word, through His servant, spoken in the power of the Spirit. These promises tell us about God who is faithful, God who loves to work through the impossibilities because that brings Him more glory. God who seems to rejoice in taking the nobodies and the useless and to build His kingdom. Through the man of sorrows, acquainted with griefs, of whom people would say and turn away their faces, didn't see His glory. His name is Jesus. And through that impossible servant of God, this God-man, Jesus Christ, He builds His kingdom, and Jesus says the gates of hell are not going to overwhelm that kingdom, overcome that kingdom. No, no. The gates of hell will be pushed back by this kingdom. It will happen. God has promised. God has promised. He will be great, majestic. His kingdom will be forever, despite of what you maybe see in your life at this moment, I see in my life, despite of what we see in society, despite of what you perhaps see in the lives of loved ones, despite of what you believe to be true about the pandemic, God's kingdom is going to come. Christ's enemies will be won. And will submit to this king. This baby birthed in Bethlehem, who is God Himself, in flesh appearing. And He will sit upon His throne. And enemies will either submit reluctantly or just like Mary here. What about your life? Because God's people submit. And trust, like Mary. Be it unto me according to thy word. He shall be great in my life. He shall rule in my life. His kingdom will have no end in my life. His kingdom will come just as it is already in heaven. It will be coming on earth. Because He says so. Because our text is still true today. Nothing is impossible with God, even when we don't see it. Don't look at the darkness, please. Look at the promises of God's light. God will make it light. Don't look at the impossibilities. For God, there are no impossibilities. Say with Mary today, be it unto me according to thy word, O Lord. Say it every day. Be it unto me according to thy word. Lord, I submit. I'm thy servant. Today, help me to walk in the power of the Spirit. Don't stagger at God's promises. Don't doubt them. Oh, that we would all see that God is bringing in the nations, even when it doesn't look like it. That we would all see and trust what God has promised, that one day there will be this multitude of all tongues and nations and tribes, and they will be all before the throne, glorifying God forever as King of kings and Lord of lords, because nothing is impossible with God. He's going to do it. He took such an interesting route. Can we say it? Impossible route. He came down to heaven, to a sin-cursed earth. He took upon himself the cross, the cursed cross. It seems rather impossible to save people by a cross, of all things. And yet through that cross he saves. Because nothing is impossible with God. And as he is born, children, who were coming? He sends some angels. Nothing is impossible to God, to lowly shepherds. Come, bow down, worship. He sends some star to the magi, rich, wise. Come, bend your knee for this king. Nothing is impossible with God. When he walked the earth, there was this lady that said, "Lord, help me, save my daughter." And then he said to her, not really a wise evangelistic way, we would say, The food is only for the people of Israel. It's not for the dogs. Impossible way of saving people, or no? Yet he said, "Great is thy faith, O woman." Because nothing is impossible with God. He takes such interesting routes. There is Nicodemus, self-righteous, blind. He saves him. Nothing is impossible with God. He says to Peter, "Come, follow me." Full of pride still. Denying him. Nothing is impossible with God. Saves him. Restores him, rather. He goes to Samaria. Through Samaria, he takes a different route. An adulterous woman is sitting there at the well. It seems impossible. She seems to be avoiding everything. Nothing is impossible with God. He hangs on the cross. What does he do? The one next to him. Mocking, railing with the other one, the other criminal, comes to faith. Nothing is impossible with God. There is that hardened Roman soldier who stands by and looks at the cross. What does he confess after seeing Jesus? "Truly, this is the Son of God." Nothing is impossible with God. Saul, persecuting the church in violent hatred. God stops him. Makes him the most useful apostle of those days in the then known world. Nothing is impossible with God. He travels, goes to Philippi, is thrown into prison. They sing psalms. What happens? A hardened jailer comes to salvation. Nothing is impossible with God. All these things we would say impossible, impossible, impossible. But God says nothing impossible with me. Read the stories of the martyrs. They sang in the flames of persecution. Read the story of Jim Elliot or others murdered. And then his wife goes to the murderers and God saves those. Saves those. Nothing is impossible with God. Now, don't you think then that it is able, that God is able to save homosexuals, to save the sexually immoral, self-righteous Pharisees, name Christians, Sunday-only Christians, angry Christians, self-righteous Christians, selfish sinners, people who love themselves more than God, backsliders, materialists, drunkards, porn-addicted people? Don't you think he's able to save them to the uttermost? Of course he is. He humbles them. He makes them repent. It's his work. Through his word. Because nothing is impossible with God. His kingdom, beloved, will have no end. So there will be that multitude of all kinds of sinners saved by grace alone. And they will sing, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our God, Lord, and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. But I leave you with this question. Have you submitted to this King for whom nothing is impossible? Have you rested your impossible case with Him this morning? Have you found, in whatever circumstances, have you learned, are you learning, that in whatever circumstances you are, impossible circumstances you are, spiritually or in day-to-day life, no matter what, that this text is true. For nothing is impossible with God. Why? Because He took the impossible route. Through virgin birth, God became flesh and became the Savior, whose kingdom is forever. And every word of God shall not be powerless. Amen.